until you realize you got to hand it over.
Mm-hmm.
And so guess what? If you have to be embarrassed in front of your kids, and the thing about it was, my wife, I give her all the credit that, you know what? And she would just come over to me and she would just rub my back. She would just rub my back. And you know what was interesting was, when I finally realized that I was in Korea, I was stationed somewhere else with one of my friends. That's one of my guys. That's a great friend of mine to this day. He spoke to me, and what he spoke into my life was what he said was, you know what? The question you need to ask yourself, because I explained to him what happened. He said, the thing that you need to ask yourself as you live your life right now, do you really believe that you did not honor your mother just because you couldn't be there to hold her hand when she crossed over?
Wow.
He said, and this is what he said to me. He said, if God is telling you that, that's one thing. But he said, if he's not telling you that, then you know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, who do you think would be pleased with holding you back from being free of that burden?
Wow.
And I said,
And, you know, not to, you know, I didn't come here to step on your toes.
No.
It almost, in your case, and we all do it in our own way,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't, I mean, you had the burden of losing your mother. Don't get me wrong. That's a burden. But right. You had created an additional burden.
Exactly.
That wasn't even there. I guarantee she wasn't holding it against you because you weren't there physically in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely, she didn't even want you there, to be honest.
Yeah,
I recognize not all of the time, but I feel like in the certain situations, people know when it's their time.
Yes,
and I've seen it more than once where they'll send loved ones away. My great grandmother did it to my grandmother. She literally sent her, and you'll understand because I'm gonna use some landmarks.
Mm-hmm.
She sent her away from University Hospital. My grandmother mm-hmm. never drove. She took the bus from University Hospital to her home on 100 in St. Clair.
Mm-hmm.
Before she could get home, mm-hmm. the phone rang. Big Ma was gone.
Wow.
Because she wanted to go, but she didn't want her there.
Mm.
My mother did the same thing.
Mm.
She sent my father to the store. And he came back too soon.
Mm.
She wasn't quite gone.
Mm.
But that's two instances right there where sometimes people just,
mm-hmm.
and in her case, I mean, I mentioned that she passed on Tuesday before Father's Day or Tuesday after Father's Day.
Right.
Last time we talked was Father's Day. Mm-hmm. And you met my dad. You know how my dad is. I come over to see him. I bring him his card, his Father's Day or whatever. Yeah. And he like, well, your mother upstairs. I said, Dad, it's Father's Day. I came to, you know,
yeah.
I come to check on you, make sure everything cool with you. I'm going to holler at Mom too. But when I did go up to talk to her, looking back on it, I recognized that she was saying her goodbye to me right then and there.
Okay.
But I didn't know it.
Okay.
It was the way she sat. She mm-hmm. never sat like that with me before. It was the way she talked to me, and it was the things that she said, and I will never forget that conversation as long as I live. And mm-hmm. what I found out was, because I was the only sibling in the city that she could physically say goodbye to,
mm-hmm.
she didn't want to freak them other two out.
Yeah.
She said her goodbye to them through other people.
Mm.
Okay. She reached out to a friend, in particular as regards to my sister, and told that friend
mm-hmm.
to take care of my baby. Look out for my baby like I would look out for my baby. If that ain't a goodbye, I don't know what is.
Okay.
And I was so upset. You know, again, we're talking about assigning burden and assigning, you know, adding more to you know, to what we have to carry.
Right.
I sat there and, you know, I thought about it and I got angry. And I got angry at her. And the reason that I'm kind of getting a little teary-eyed thinking about it, because it was so selfish on my part, but I'm thinking to myself, how in the world could you possibly be in the position and the condition that you were in, literally fighting for your life? And I know why my mother died in that moment, is because of all that she had been through, and she was tired, and she was tired of fighting. And I get it. But in her tiredness, in her weariness, the mother that she was, she worried about me.
Exactly.
Worried about my brother. She was worried about my sister. She was worried about my dad, and she was worried about her grandkids. And I said, God, dogged woman, you, can you let us worry about you for once?
I know, right?
It's like, really?
Ah, man.
But the stuff that she said to me, I'm literally walking it out today, years later. She told me, some things that I needed to do, because my mother didn't pull no punches. She would say it in this nice, sweet voice, but if it wasn't going the way she thought it should go, and she was usually right. She wasn't usually wrong about it. She said, hey, you ought to do this, or you ought to fix that, or, you know, clean this up, or get this together. Figure it out.
Figure it out.
And that's who she was. So looking back on that, and the way, and I hear you laughing, and that's how I look back on it now. I miss her tremendously.
Yeah.
And I still grieve that. I'm not going to tell you that I'm over that, but the grieving isn't debilitating like it was before.
Right.
I couldn't function.
Right.
Physically or mentally.
Right. You know, it's interesting you talk about it, because you can laugh about it now. And I think, like, I can remember I couldn't go to visit my mother, her grave in Cleveland. Like, when we would go home, I would go every year. And I couldn't visit without breaking down.
Okay.
Like, just weeping uncontrollably for years. And it wasn't until about 6 years ago, I finally was able to go. And, I'd go and I'd try to clean it off, clean off her tombstone and stuff. And, you know, I'd say whatever I thought, and I'd let the kids be there, and we'd be there for a second, and then we'd leave. And, it's interesting that the kids often tell stories. Like, I'm up here thinking, my kids were little, you know, I'm up here saying, well, this, they couldn't possibly remember this, they couldn't remember that. And I think what resonates with me with her is that, like you said, even in your time where you're transitioning, you don't want us worrying about you. You know, that is so, that sounds like your mom. I think about too as well, a lot of the things with, I used to feel bad when the kids would have milestones and she wasn't there to see them. And like you said, the whole thing about assigning another burden. The one thing is that I think is also important, especially for men to realize, is that, more so than, like, even when you said, if you have to punch the heavy bag, you know, we have to be able to make sure that we have an honest conversation with our children, and, you know, with our children, with our siblings, but primarily with our children who are under our stead, about, you know, when they're, when grandma, grandpa, or whoever goes on, we have to be able to have a good conversation, an appropriate conversation with them, and also be vulnerable with them inside of that, so that they can learn, you know, healthy trends and healthy practices of understanding how to get through it. Because if we don't understand it, but sometimes people don't give enough credit to the fact that if we don't deal with it right with us, that will plant unhealthy habits with them. And they'll hold on to that and carry that, and it'll reap a harvest the rest of their life.
And, you know, we have to, as a father,
mm-hmm.
you got to play a lot of different roles. So, you know, mm-hmm. for me, I felt comfortable, and I had to let my kids see me cry.
Mm-hmm.
One, because I don't think my daughter suffered from it, but my son, being a man, being a male, he needed to know that it was okay for him to cry.
Yes.
Because it's unhealthy for you to go your life without crying at some point or another.
Right.
So for me, two of the toughest moments in my life, one was driving up to the house to tell them that my grandmother passed away. That was very, mm-hmm. they were both very close to her. And then equally difficult was then having to turn around 6 months later and tell them that their Lala, which is what they called my mother, was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was extremely hard. My daughter said to me, you gotta be kidding. There's no way that you're saying that to me. There's no way. And I told her, I said, baby, let me tell you something. I wouldn't play about this. This ain't right. Ain't nothing to joke about. I wouldn't play, because mm-hmm. she hid it. They knew she had been sick, but all they knew is that we announced that she had gotten sick. She had surgery. She's doing better, and mm-hmm. that was kind of the end of it.
Okay.
So, you know, for them, for that to come back around, and then I watched. You know, I have to play protector, but I also have to show vulnerability. You know, I have to look at my daughter and listen to her tell me that, you know, she feels bad because she didn't spend enough time with her grandmother at the end. Right. And I told her, I said, baby, grandma, Lala knows how much you loved her. And so she was kind of doing the same thing that you talked about, you know, saying, you know, she wasn't there in the last moments. Well, baby, honey, this was your senior year of high school. She knows you've been busy working, going to school. She was so proud of you, you know, doing what you did with the college classes and the grades you were getting and this and that. And I don't know whether I said this to her or not, because I wasn't quite sure maybe how it would make her feel, but I know it to be true. I believe that my mother hung around to watch her baby graduate from high school.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the last places that she went.
Mm.
And I believe okay. I believe she hung around for that. And so I was like, you know, I hear what you're saying, but again, you can't put that type of pressure on yourself to that you should have visited more, you should have called more. You didn't do anything malicious. You didn't do anything mean or anything along those lines. So don't add to your burden mm-hmm. all of that extra.
Right.
You got enough burden as it is.
Mm-hmm. And so that's right. So, you know, as we get ready to wrap up this first session, and we talked about the challenges, really talking about, honestly, you know, we've talked about some seminal events, the seminal event of how to deal with it in the midst of approaching it. We've talked about what we've had to deal with at the moment. We've talked about what we had to deal with in the immediate aftermath. And then we talked about what's kind of life has kind of been like a little bit after we've understood what the new normal is.
Mm-hmm.
So not to go and rush through anything, but that's kind of like one of the challenges. But now what we're going to have to do is we're going to go ahead and kind of break away and we're going to end this session right here. This is a good stopping point. And what we're going to do is we're going to plan to get together again. So now that we've talked about the challenge, we're going to get ready to start talking about the chore. And with talking about the chore, we're talking about what you already introduced is how you're going to use this pain to be able to build up someone else, but then you're also going to get a chance to tell us about how that came about for you. because I'll tell you, and I'll leave it at this. Dave has actually really done some dynamic things that have helped him be able to reconnect with his mother and his grandmother. And it actually started out as a, it still is a labor of love, but it actually became not only a labor of love that he was able to reconnect with these two central prominent women in his life, but he's actually been able to have it spread out and be able to touch other people. So you guys are in for a treat if you come back for that next session. We're going to get this one up as soon as possible. But I want to thank you, Dave, for just really taking the opportunity for sharing with us tonight. And
nothing but a pleasure. Nothing.
I just this really,
is therapy for me, too.
I'm just so grateful, man. It's been very, very wonderful and helpful. And so it'd be great for us to get together and do this again. So we can take the other session. but without further ado, we're going to go ahead and end this session. And Dave will be back for our next one. And Absolutely. Then not only will he be back, but he'll share with us how this has manifested into a blessing to him and a blessing to other people. So thank you, Dave. And we're going to sign off. And thank you all for listening, for Give and Go with Mo, for our first session talking about men and dealing with grief. Thank you. God bless. So as you've heard us go through some of the things that we've been through dealing with grief, hopefully you've been empowered. Hopefully you've been inspired. And it's been time well spent. Just think, this is only the first installment. It was broke up into two parts. We'll start again next week. We'll actually be putting a link out there. If you feel welcome, we'll try to provide the opportunity where we can go live and you can tune in and ask questions. Thank you for spending time with Mo on Give and Go with Mo.